Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another rousing discussion about taxes this week.
I know, it's going to be exciting, Mark.
How to use estate planning for tax purposes. And again, the wonderful statement you've made during this series that taxes are optional.
They are, for estate taxes specifically. And so income taxes are always more difficult. That's not what we're talking about. You need to pay your income taxes every year, but estate planning is necessary. And so if you have a taxable estate, or if there are assets that could be taxable in your estate, there are things that we can do with good base and foundational estate planning. And so, yes, estate taxes are optional. We can mitigate and sometimes even fully eliminate estate taxes. So an estate tax is when someone passes away and they have money that exceeds a certain threshold, then Washington State and the federal government would come in and say, I want a piece of that.
And what's the percentage for like Washington State?
Yeah, so in Washington, you can have up to $2.2 million and then a 15% tax starts. And then for every $1 million that you have above that, so at $3 million, 16%. At $4 million, 17%. So each of those go up to a 21% tax. Mm. All right? So we could be up to a 21% tax. Now, on the federal level, boy, it's really bitey. On a federal level, you can have $12 million. And by the way, if you're married, that doubles in both of the, whether it's Washington State or the federal. So in Washington, you could have almost $4.4 million. On the federal level, you could have a $24 million if you're married. And if you do proper estate planning. So let me throw that in. Only if you do good estate planning can you use them both. On the federal level, if you exceed the exemption amount, that $12 million, then it is a 40% tax.
Wow.
Now, here's also some worse news. That figure in about 18 months is going to be cut in half. So that means if you have between $5.5 million and $6 million, then you are going to be exposed to a 40% tax. And that's because the federal law that governs estate taxes, that law is going to expire. We call it a sunset. It is going to expire on January 1st, 2025. Hmm. So there is a little more than 18 months from when we're talking about this, that if you have more than $5.5 million, you need to do some estate planning, and it is now that you need to do it. You cannot wait. So, therefore, we don't want to be exposed to a 15% tax if we don't have to be.
Right.
We don't want to be exposed to the higher rate of a 21% tax if we don't have to be in Washington. And we certainly do not need a 40% tax. So for people who have accumulated things, who have been blessed to accumulate a reasonable amount of money, you've already paid your taxes just to get that money. So the estate taxing system is really a double taxation system, to where if you have enough, that Washington State or the federal government is going to eye your estate and say, we're going to take more. And this does not need to happen. We can do good planning. We start good planning with a revocable living trust. That's a trust that you are in full and absolute control of during your lifetime. And that is the foundation of all good planning. And of course, we need to do financial power of attorney. We need to do medical powers of attorney, end of life documents. So there's a whole package around estate planning that every person needs to have. So there's our foundation. But once we have the foundation, we then look at all of your assets and we go, okay, now that we have a good, solid foundation, now we can actually start mitigating and eliminating taxes, right? So I think of the parable that Jesus taught. how's this for a good transition and we're talking about taxes, is that if you do not have a good foundation, the storm is going to come and it is going to shake your house and it is going to disintegrate it. But when your foundation is solid, okay, and yes, I know that that was talking about having a solid foundation on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that when the trials of this life come to us, that we are not going to be shaken and moved from our faith. Yes, but that is also very applicable in many other areas of life. And estate planning is absolutely one of them. If you have a good, solid foundation, then your estate plan will not be shaken. When you pass away, it will be a smooth transition, and we can even mitigate and eliminate taxes. That sounds like a really good plan to me. And so that's what we're trying to develop at Planning with Purpose. We're trying to develop really strong, good foundational plans that will stand the test of time and meet your objectives. Whatever God has placed within your heart and within your vision to bless your family, let's make sure that that takes place. But we got to have the conversation first.
Well, last week you discussed revocable and irrevocable trusts, right, and life insurance trusts. What about, you mentioned something here called, speaking of over time, a generation skipping trust.
Right.
What are you talking about there?
So in the taxing system, and some of these past shows have been a little more technical and they're a little harder to follow, specifically when this is not something that we talk about all the time. Taxes are difficult to follow on the radio. But let me say that if you think that your estate may need some of these tools, then you got to talk to a good, competent estate planning attorney. Hey, if it's not me, it's okay. If I have motivated you to go out and get a good plan, then I've done what my goal is. Yes, I would love to help you. But if it's not me, please find someone that you trust that is competent, because these are complicated issues and there's a lot of things that we need to pull apart. So a generation skipping trust, okay? The taxing system, that if when we use a trust as a foundational plan, the IRS has the philosophy that says, if someone inherits money, we expect you to spend it all. Now, the IRS is actually not mistaken with their philosophy. A high majority of people spend their money. Proverbs says that money that is hastily received is quickly spent.
And you said before, no matter how much somebody receives, it's gone in 2 years.
Yes, a high majority. Statistically, I like statistics because they protect me. Statistically, and this is what I've seen in my own firm, is that when someone receives money in their hands without any type of good planning around it, it will disappear. I was just thinking, I'm pretty sure it was Esau who gave his inheritance away for a meal. So that is the natural thinking. I'm just going to get whatever I can today. Whatever satisfies me today, I will sacrifice my future for today's needs. And the Bible is very clear that without strong restraint from the Holy Spirit, we may all be tempted to actually use what's in our hands. And that is the benefit of being a believer and having the restraint of the Holy Spirit and self-control. That is how we want to respond to be good stewards. And we can set up a plan to where we can assist our children be good stewards. And so, so in generation skipping, the IRS says, hey, we expect the next generation to spend it. As a matter of fact, if they do not spend it all, we are going to then look at that money and we are going to tax it again. So, because what is the goal and the purpose of the IRS? To get money. That is their only goal.
Right.
Their only goal is to watch you every year and to watch you when you die and say, how can we collect money? Okay, that is their job. Now, there is a tone in my voice with that, but let's be honest, if we did not have any taxes, we would have no government and everything would fall apart.
That might be a good thing.
Oh, okay. Well, there is that thought. However, I would say that we're almost without a government in Washington. And so we've actually seen the negative effects of people just kind of saying, well, we're going to do it all. Okay. So now with generation skipping, there is a way that we can, there are opportunities in the tax code to say, look, money that we anticipate to last for more than one generation. In other words, if you have a legacy mindset, and by the way, I think God has a strong legacy mindset. I think he is after generational hearts and generational purpose and generational money to forward the kingdom of God. I believe that is the viewpoint and the passion of God. So when we start thinking generationally instead of just giving money away to whomever is going to be the recipient, when we start thinking about building God's kingdom for multiple generations, then we will need the tax code to protect whatever money we can so that it can continue to pass generation to generation. So here's the deal. If money is held in a trust and the beneficiary dies, so number one, I build a trust. Number two, I die. Number three, my money that is in the trust is given to my daughters and it's held in a trust for their benefit. Okay? There are some really strong benefits to that decision. Now, if my girls are going to be great stewards of that money that I've left behind, and they have a vision that says, Dad wanted us to pass this on. Yes, we can use some of it. Yes, we can make sure that we have a lifestyle that sets us free to walk in what God has anointed us to do. But one of our goals is to ensure that our children, so in other words, my grandchildren, receive something that was left to us. So now, when it is going to hit that next generation, the grandchild level, the IRS says, we want to tax that unless there is specific language that covers it, a generation skipping trust. Mm. There is specific language that the IRS allows and up to certain dollar values that say it's okay to let that money continue to grow and perpetuate generation after generation, and we won't tax it again. So that's what a generation skipping trust is about. It's about making sure that there is money that will smoothly go across the generations to hopefully accomplish God's kingdom purposes that will not be exposed to the taxing system again, as it moves generation to generation to generation. Now, in Washington, we can do that for 150 years. Mm. Okay, so there is a timeline of when all trusts must end. However, that's multiple generations. Yeah. That's at least four generations, sometimes a fifth generation that could be blessed by money. That if you have been a good steward and if you believe your kids are going to be good stewards of what you hand them, this could be an opportunity to ensure that we pass generational money down the line, not being re-exposed to an estate taxing system.
Okay, that's intriguing. And talking about estate planning for taxes this week on the Legacy and Faith Show, people are intrigued. How do they find out more?
Yeah, head over to our website. There's information there. There's ways to communicate with us, connect with us. There's upcoming educational opportunities, past podcasts. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswworthtelling.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, Paul's been talking about estate planning for taxes and different trusts he's been mentioning, and we're kind of into the section of what are the results to inheritors and some of the benefits of how to spend that money.
Right, and we just talked about a generation skipping trust. So in other words, we're holding money so that each generation after us can take advantage of no more estate tax. Okay, so notice how I'm emphasizing estate tax, estate tax, estate tax. So let's clarify one point. In a trust model, someone always has to pay the income tax each year. Okay, so it doesn't matter if you earn it through a trust or whether you earn it because you work. Someone always has to pay income tax, darn it. So in a trust model, if your investments of what you've left behind, because we're assuming that that money is going to be well invested, that it's going to be wisely invested. And when you invest money, it grows if you don't use it. But there is income every year that people get from wisely investing. It could be royalties. Okay, so if you've invested in an oil company or other companies that have royalties that are coming out of it, that would kick back into your investment portfolio. It would increase your portfolio value because you got a royalty, but the IRS wants their portion of that royalty payment. Interest, even though they're pathetic, interest rates right now for investment purposes, if your money earns interest, then indeed you would need to pay income tax on that. Dividends. So some companies, bigger companies, still pay dividends. That's when a company decides to take some of its profits and put and give it back to shareholders. Well, when that comes back to you on a quarterly, semi-annual, or annual basis, however a company has set up their dividend outputs, then that money is taxable to you, the investor. So there, even if you don't use any of your investment money in 1 year, that investment will produce some income that needs to be taxed on your 1040. Well, utilizing a trust is no different. So when it comes to the next generation, so if I've died and I pass something on to my girls, they wisely invest it, their investments inside the trust are going to have interest, dividends, and royalties. And or if I left them a rental home, there's another way, because that's income producing. And so just as if it was going to land in their own hands, someone has to pay the annual income tax. So a trust must always pay income tax, even at the next generation. So there is one issue that beneficiaries need to be aware of, whether they receive it in their hands, which I'm not a huge proponent of, or whether they receive it in the confines of a trust, in the protective mechanism of a trust, someone always has to pay income tax each and every year. Now, there's also things in your financial portfolio, that's what I wanted to say, that may need to be taxed, specifically an IRA. So an IRA is an investment tool that you have chosen to put money aside, that has never been taxed before. And the deal with the government is all of that money that I put aside is going to continue to grow. And when I take it out and use the money, then you're going to tax me on it. So it's a tax-deferred investment.
A traditional IRA.
Traditional.
No, not Roth.
401k, 403bs. So most things that you contribute to at your employer level are going to be a tax-deferred mechanism.
But not Roth.
Well, but a Roth is a tax-deferred because it grows there, and when you take it out, it becomes tax-free because you put money in. So you're using after-tax money. So a Roth is a different instrument. But traditional tax-deferred money, when you use it, it's taxed. So now, if you end up dying and you have money that you have not used and it has not been taxed because it's in a tax-deferred investment, now, when it passes to the next generation, the IRS rule as of a couple years ago is that you must take the money out and have it fully taxed within 10 years. Now, there's some discretion there. You could take it all out at the beginning and spend it. As a matter of fact, many inheritors like that option. They'd say, I'll pay the tax and I'm going to spend the money. Okay, that is an option. They could pay a lump sum tax. As a matter of fact, unfortunately, what oftentimes they do is they cash it out. They forget that they have a tax burden on that. And then the IRS comes back to them and says, well, where's our tax money? Well, I spent it all. So that's a problem. Now, it could wait on this 10-year scheme until the very end. So you could let it grow. No taxes due. You are not required to take any money out. But in year 11, because you get the first year of death without the necessity to take it, you now must take the entire thing and pay all the taxes. So you have an option to do it at the beginning, at the end, or you could do it strategically at some point in the middle. Sometimes it would be wise to take 10% each year so that it wears down and you pay the taxes over time. But this is a bucket of money that that taxes must be paid, and that is income tax. So if you have an inheritor that makes good money, let's say they work for Microsoft, or they work for Boeing, or they work for some other company that pays them a good six-plus figure salary. Well, this becomes now an additional tax burden. So there are things in estate planning that we may want to consider in who gets what asset based upon how they are doing financially. If you have children to where some of the kids are doing really good each year, and then you have a child or two that struggles financially, we may want to leave more of the IRA to the struggling kids because they're going to pay less tax at the end of the day to actually get at that money. To where the child who is doing really well, maybe they have more of the house. Maybe they get more of some other asset so that instead of having the IRA money, they don't have to pay as much tax when indeed they're required to tax it, cash it out and pay that. So there's always strategy that we can look at pending on the beneficiaries. But I'm not so sure that many people are looking at financial strategy when they're setting up their estate plan. I think that they're looking at, I just need a document. No, you don't. Yes, you need a document, and it needs to be the right document created in the right way to accomplish your vision that God has put into your heart that will accomplish generational planning and tax planning all simultaneously. And it means that we need to stop our world and take a moment and really look at the plan as a whole instead of just going on the internet and printing a piece of paper. That's not going to work in the long run. It will get money to maybe who you think it's supposed to go to, but it's not going to ultimately benefit the beneficiaries as we can in a better holistic look at estate planning. So we need to do good estate planning. Now, there's also a thing called a step up. So for example, if I die and I own a home, let's say I bought that home for $300,000. And now it's worth $600,000. It doubled. Well, if I was going to sell the home, I may or may not need to pay a tax on that. If I'm a single individual, I can only protect the first $250,000. So if I had $300,000, like my example, if I sold my home, I actually have to pay a tax on the additional $50,000, okay? If I'm married, then I get double that. But if I die with that home, then the value of that home for taxing purposes steps up to whatever the value is today. So now when it's sold and the proceeds are given to the kids, the proceeds are no longer taxed because there was a step up in tax basis. So that helps and assists in the taxing structure. If you think, oh, I'll just bring my kid on to my house because that'll make it easy. You just gave your children a tax burden because you gave a gift. You didn't get the step up when you die. So there are things that we do in estate planning that may not fully assist and may cause a tax to the next generation that is also unnecessary. So good estate planning will weed and pull all these things apart so that we set up a good plan to ensure that unnecessary taxes are not a part of your plan. And that's what we want to do. A good plan, the vision that God has given us, and let's not pay unnecessary taxes at any time.
Estate planning for taxes. If you're intrigued by Paul's approach and want to find out more, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com, past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, legacyandfaith.com.
Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.